Okay. Today we want to finish up the main topic of how politics and religion clash. And we're going to talk about today the main question, which you asked about way back, is that, you know, why is God being so, why are the people suffering so much? And why don't they get the message right? And what were they supposed to know? I want to deal with that at a more basic level of what God expects from the Jewish people and why he gave them a temple and what's behind, because sometimes even going back to Chumash, what's behind Yirmiyahu's religious message? We said we're religion politics clash. We focus what's the political implications, but what's the religious message from everything he's saying and how it plays out in the story? Today we're going to focus on the time period of Chizkiyahu. And since I want to begin pretty much what we talked about in the first year about Yirmiyahu's primary message from Yirmiyahu Perek Zayin, I want to do a quick review of Yirmiyahu Perek Zayin and talk about what Yirmiyahu was saying there. So when Yirmiyahu Perek Zayin, Sukkim, begin with there. How's the volume, okay? So open up Yirmiyahu Perek Zayin, or on the source sheet that I gave you. Hadavar Asher Yirmiyahu Meit Hashem Lemor. Amod Dushar Beit Hashem Vekrat Hashem Et Hadavar Hazeh V'amarta Shimu Dvar Hashem Kol Yehuda Baim B'Shem Ha'Eleh V'Shtachvot L'Hashem. And we talked about how this is the message for all the people coming to Beit HaMikdash. Kol Amar Hashem Elohei Yisrael Heitivu Darchichem U'Malalchem V'Hashaknatchem B'Mekom Hazeh. That, in a nutshell, is everything Yirmiyahu was talking about. Improve your behavior, and you'll be able to stay in this place, in the land of Israel, in the Beit HaMikdash. And then don't put your trust in what the words of the Nevi'ah Shekhar were telling you, the Chal Hashem, that God's house will protect you. Just bring Korbanot and daven in God's house, and everything will be fine. Pasukei kim hitiv titivu, et achichem bet malalchem. Yimasu tasu mishpat ben ish ben reyu. Jei yasam v'amana ot tashoku v'dam nakiyah tishpuchu v'amakam hazeh. ואחרי זה נחרים לא תלכו, לא רע לכם, ושיקנתי אתכם במקום הזה בארץ שנתתי לבתיכם מן העולם ויד העולם. Yirmiyahu's message, the main thing God wants is the behavior. He didn't say that that's the only thing he wants. He says the main thing he wants is how you act to one another. By the way, as far as chunks of time, that happened to me when I was in on a weaker connection. When your bandwidth isn't strong enough, what happens is it goes into buffer mode, and when it's buffering, you don't hear it for like it could be 5 seconds, could be 10 seconds, depending on how bad your buffer, how much time is. But the faster your connection, and if you're on a wireless and you have the ability to plug in, it's better to do a plug in instead of a wireless, because the plug in is always going to be faster. Now back to Yirmiyahu. And what I want to show you now is what could have been, if that's Yirmiyahu's message, I want to connect between the political message he was giving and the Ruchani message he's giving. When he's telling Am Yisrael that if you don't follow God and don't listen, I'm taking away your sovereignty, he's not saying that the Beit HaMikdash has to be destroyed. He's not saying you have to go into exile. He's saying your sovereignty, or basically he's punishing the leadership and the leaders and the higher-ups of the country, and the people can go on being God's people. He's saying that I don't need, if you want to get a point across, that being Jewish is not just about having a temple and about praying to God, but being Jewish is more how you act as a society, then the way to do it is take away the things which people are putting too much of an emphasis on, and then focus on the proper things. So Yirmiyahu's main message is, if you don't understand what your Judaism is about, I have to take away certain things and give you time to focus on what's important. And I'm going to show you today that even after the Beit HaMikdash is destroyed, there was a chance for a society in Israel to remain. We'll see that later in Paris, Lamedet Yirmiyahu. Now we're going to pick up with Yirmiyahu Perek Chabet, where we have the exact same message, but I want to show you that pretty much the last day, during the time of Chizkiyahu still, that there's a way out. Means it doesn't have to be Korban. We're going to learn today Yirmiyahu Perek Chabet and Yirmiyahu Chav Gimel, which pretty much will serve as a nice summary of everything we've talked about and show you what happens in the time period of Chizkiyahu. So basically, the first year was the time period of Yoshiel, the middle shiurim are about Yehoyakim in the Megillat Sefer, and now the last set of shiurim is going to be on the time period of Tzidkiyahu and the time period of the Korban. Yirmiyahu Perek Chabet, which we're reading now, is going to be a generic nevuah to the house of David, but especially in times of trouble like these. Yirmiyahu Perek Chabet. Kol Amar Hashem. Reivit Melech Yehuda, v'divrat Hashem etzei davar hazeh. That's how Yirmiyahu go to the palace of the king and tell him the following. V'amarta, Shema davar hazeh, davar Hashem Melech Yehuda, ha'yishev ha'kisei David. How does he describe the king? He describes the king as the king sitting on the throne of David. Atzav avadach v'amcha ba'id v'shem eilach. Everyone have any idea why he describes the king as the king sitting on the throne of David? What's the meaning of the throne of David? Yeah, Yedida? We didn't hear that. I see you talking, but I don't hear you talking.
Now, better? Okay.
Yep.
I said that necessarily because of who the king is as an individual, but just his role as king, as the religious leader, and also the political leader.
Yeah, yeah. And what was David known for compared to other kings? What made, if you learn Sefer Shmuel, what made David king why did God pick him over Shmuel? Anyone remember? What was it in David's character that God said, this is the type of king that's going to do it? What I want you to read, it's not on the source sheet, but hopefully you have Tanakh in front of you. If not, well, you can do it by heart. Look at Shmuel Bet Perachet. In Shmuel Bet Perachet, there's a beautiful summary of the reign of David towards the end of the Perach. If you look at the end of Pasuk Yudalit, again, Shmuel Bet Perachet, look towards the end of Perachet, starting at the very end of Pasuk Gedalah, it says, "Vayosh Hashem et David b'chol asher halach." After a whole bunch of battles that David fighting, and then in the summary pasuk, which is classic, it says as follows. Right? You have it, Yedida? Yeah, read it. You want to read out loud, Yedida? Yeah, read
David
it.
David osa mishpat utzaka l'chol amo.
Okay. And then we have this cabinet. If there's one passage that Sefer Shmuel, written by the Nevi'im of David, okay, what makes David special? How do we summarize his kingdom? David was known for doing Sakal Bishpat. That got the message across. No other leader organized the nation in a way that got that accomplished. And you see that in Tzilim, if you want to take a nice example of it, if you look in Tzilim Ayin Bet, just the first line of the Tzarek, where David writes a special mizmor for his son Shlomo, you see that it says, it's mizmor the Shlomo, and the entire mizmor is about how the king needs to do Tzedek Mishpat. And if he does that, his kingdom will be reset. But the concept of a king who's known and chosen because he's able to prioritize and knows what the goal the Jewish nation is, to get that accomplished. That's Kisei David. Now, let's go back now to our source sheet in Yirmiyahu. Now we're back in Perek Chabet in Yirmiyahu. Lenny, if you want the source sheet, take here. Here's the link. nas.org/yrm5.pdf. I think a lot of people don't have, if you get, I sent one big email to everybody, and I think when there's too many people, you can print that out while you're... You see the link, Len? Yeah. Just print that up in a roll. Or you can use the talk in front of you. Okay. And the link simply has the things highlighted, what we're going to talk. Let's go back to Yirmiyahu Perek Chabet and see what David has to say. Again, that tells him... He goes, speak to Shema Devar Hashem Melech Yudah Begimel. Okay. Kol Ma Hashem, Asu Mishpat Utzpaka. That shouldn't surprise us anymore. But now this is a message to the king. If the king is a leader, make sure you facilitate that. As a leadership, use your leadership, your kingdom, not to fight battles and expand your borders and take power, etc. Use it to help the poor, help the needy, make sure people don't steal from one another and don't oppress others. Don't take advantage and cheat and oppress. Not to steal, but take by force. And don't. Then he says, ובאו ושאר הבית הזה המלאכים יושבים לדוד על קיצו ורוכבים ברכב וסוסים ובעבדה בימו. If you do that, God promises, I'll make sure that your kingdom will remain. This is God's message to the kings. If you do tzedek ומשפט, if you use your kingdom to facilitate that, then there's no reason for you to lose your sovereignty, no reason to lose your kingdom, no reason for the Beit HaMikdash to be destroyed, and that's it. But if you don't, but the king, if you don't teach what is Varmeila, Yemeli is crystal clear in prioritizing what he expects from the king. Now, later on in the parak, he says something which is amazing. And I thought I'd just tell you what it means to know God. He's talking about Yehoyakim. Maybe you'll see, it says, after he gives, in parak Chabet, he goes king by king and yells at them. But in his rebuke of the king of Yehoyakim, listen to how he compares Yehoyakim to his father Yoshiel. Okay? It says, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Hoy bonet bito b'lo tzedek, v'alyota b'lo mishpat. You can see the play of words that Nabi's doing. Okay? He's giving rebuke to the king who's building his house in his palace without tzedek and without mishpat. Alyota is the second floor of the building. V'reyu yavot chinam. He has his friends work for him and he doesn't pay them. U'polo lo yitemo. He doesn't pay the workers the salary that they deserve. But what does he care about? Homer is really big. All he wants to build himself is a big fancy house. And to cut corners on his costs, he'll pay his workers or delay the pay. And he wants a big, big fancy palace. And he has fancy, I'll just translate loosely, he wants the best marble and the best windows and the best everything. Then the Pasuk Tevadi says as follows. Hatimloch, yata mitchara ba'aretz. Are you in competition with the cedars of Lebanon? He says, what's going on here? Why are you so involved in your leadership? Why is the main thing of your kingdom is building these big fancy buildings and showing off? Okay? Are you in competition with cedars of Lebanon? Who are you in competition with? Then he compares him to his father. Avicha Yoyakim, your father, Yoshiel, who is Yoyakim's father, halohu achav shatap basamishparut stakar tovlo. He ate and drank what he needed. But what did Yoshiel do with the king? He focused on doing stakar mishpat. Dan dan anivi avion. He cared about the poor and the downtrodden. I told that made him happy. Hello, he adatotinu Hashem. What's the Nabi say? That's what it means to know God. Okay? To know God means to do tzedek u'mishpat. That's an amazing statement he says here. We would think to know God means something theoretical, theological, deep, you know, something Aristotelian, whatever the word is. Okay? In fact, the Rambam himself, in the end of Moreh Nevuchim, uses this as his definition of what it means to know God. Someone who understands not know God, he understands what God wants for man, why God created man, will recognize that that's the main thing God wants people to do. So again, that was as opposed to that, now in Pasuk Yedzayim, ki ein encha v'divchar ki al bitzecha v'al dam ha'neki v'shloch v'oshek v'mutzal lasot. L'chein k'omar Hashem al yohikim ben Yosheo melech Yudah lo yitzudu lo ho'yechi bo'achot. In this comparison that Yirmiyahu is doing, he's saying, the king of Yehuda was chosen to do, the king who's sitting on Kisei David was chosen to do tzedek u'mishpat. And that's what Yirmiyahu's message to the people is. And that's why you're going to lose your sovereignty if the kingdom is not doing that. Now, Yoshiel himself was good, but we saw the people were far from it. And as soon as Yoshiel dies, right, to prove that the tshuva that was done during the time of Yoshiel was only skin deep and wasn't rooted in the people. The fact that he dies and they lose the battle, by the way, everyone ran away. Yoshiel's death that God pretty much uses as a litmus test to see if the tshuva have they really done tshuva or is it phony. And by Yoakim's reaction to his father's death and the way the people act afterwards, and in fact they don't seem to internalize that message, God proves to God that it's a lost cause and he has to bring a korban. But again, but at the first stage he says you're going to lose your sovereignty because the king over and over again is not getting his job done. Now once the king, a sovereign king like Yehoyakim, goes into exile, the people in Yehuda can remain. And we're going to see that now in Yirmiyahu Perek Yud Gimel, which is our next source. What can happen? What was supposed to happen with Tzidkiyahu? Have Yirmiyahu Perek Yud Gimel? He's saying, he's giving woe to the roim, to the shepherds. He's referring to the leaders. He's not talking about the people who are taking care of the cattle or the sheep. There's an analogy where he calls the leaders of the people roim, just like shepherds, kavakot roim's role. That's how he refers to the leaders. Okay? Apostle said, Lachen kol ma'ashem, el'ayisah ha'roim ha'roim etami, atem ha'pitot ha'netuni v'tabichum, v'lo pakadetem otam, ani poker alechem et roim ha'lechem nu ma'ashem. You didn't take care of my people. You were poor religious and political leaders. You misled them. You didn't teach them their priorities. And therefore, you're going to be punished, and I'm going to get my anger down on you. And then, you did a lousy job as shepherd. I'm going to bring them in, and I'll take care of them, and you're not going to be there when redemption happens. Now, listen to what he says in Pasuk Hey. What type of leadership does God want that will bring redemption? Pasuk Hey. The time will come when I will finally get the proper leadership from the house of David. Okay? He'll be a king who uses his mind and understands what's going on. That king will do in the land like David did, Mishpat Tzedakah. During his time, Yudah will be saved. What will his name be? His name will be Hashem Tzidkenu. That doesn't mean he's going to be born and called Hashem Tzidkenu. Saying the king will be known for doing tzedek. Now, if you remember your Sefer Melachim, right, how did Tzidkenu get into power? Anyone remember? Who put him into power? You can type it in if you want. How is it related? Yoiakim was killed. His son became king, and he was sent into exile. Right? How did Tzidkiyahu come into power? Who put him into power? Nebuchadnezzar came and took over the city. He didn't destroy the Mikdash, but he exiled the elite. Okay, the king exactly. Nebuchadnezzar put him in power. He put him into power. And his name used to be, his original name was Mataniah. And it says in Sefer Melachim that Melech Bavel changed his name from Mataniah to Tzidkiyahu. Now, why do you think the king of Bavel picked such a name? Anyone want to give a guess? What advisor the king of Bavel had? When he wanted to pick a new king? Go back one step. What's the meaning of changing the name of a king? When you have a vassal, if you're putting someone in charge, what's the meaning of changing his name and giving his name? That's right. When Nebuchadnezzar gives a name to the king of Yehuda, it's a nice way of saying you're not sovereign. You're working for me, but you're in charge of autonomy. But the name that you're going to give him is going to be a name that's going to reflect what he needs to do. Now, who was sort of the Jewish advisor? Which Jewish leader was predicting that Bavel would come in, and which one said they should give in to Bavel? That's Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu, who wrote Perek Chaf Gimel, who says the name of the king who's going to bring redemption for Yehuda, his name will be Hashem Tzidkenu. I think that it was his advice that Nebuchadnezzar took and called him Tzidkiyahu. I mean, the name Tzidkiyahu was not by chance. Tzidkiyahu wasn't his name when he was born. Tzidkiyahu is a nice form of Hashem Tzidkenu. It's reflecting what the king was supposed to do. And that's what makes what we talked about last week and the week before, that in the fourth year of Tzidkiyahu, when he decided to rebel against Bavel and break that promise and break that oath that he made with the king of Bavel and decides to depend on Egypt and start this whole revolt, that's what got so angry, and God said, that's it. I want to reiterate what we talked about last week and the week before, that had Tzidkiyahu remained subservient to Bavel, Am Yisrael could remain in their land. The future of the Jewish people would have been from those in Yerushalayim. The Beit Hamikdash didn't have to be destroyed. Most of the people would not have been in exile. And those who went to Galut would have been in Galut for a while, and that would have been it. But it's because that decision that we can rebel against Bavel, that position that we got to be political, and that we got to get involved, and we have to get our sovereignty back, and that not listening to your meal, that pretty much, that led, we thought, to Yechezkel's vision of the Shekhinah leaving Yerushalayim, which ultimately led to the Chorban of the house. I'm not saying whether Nebuchadnezzar understood every, I'll repeat this question. I'm not saying that Nebuchadnezzar was a big Talmid of Yirmiyahu, but when you're a conquering king and you come and take over, you pretty much want the people you've conquered to take care of themselves. You got rid of all the troublemakers, you sent the elite and the important people, you sent them into exile. The rest of the people left behind, you're saying, I'm the new guy in charge. Who do you go to for advice? You go to the religious leaders. Everyone knew that Yirmiyahu was pro Bavel, and it doesn't take much to assume that when Nebuchadnezzar took over, the religious leader they went to for advice would have been Yirmiyahu. And I think it was Yirmiyahu's idea to call him Chidkiyahu. Now, the rebellion being bad, their intentions were good. Hey, we want our sovereignty back. We want to be God's people. But because God told them that you've lost your sovereignty, and they understood what was so bad about their behavior before, they would have listened to Yirmiyahu. It's their hope that everything was dependent on the rebellion, and through military force and political shrewdness, they can get rid of Bavel. When God says, give in to Bavel, that reflected a total misunderstanding of what God wanted from them and why they're being punished. They didn't understand that the rise of Bavel was a punishment from God. And that's Yirmiyahu's point from Parakhatay on. Don't translate the rise of Bavel into power as just, you know, one political event. Understand Bavel's rise to power is a message from God that you need to go into rehabilitation. And that was Yirmiyahu's biggest fight, and that's what they didn't accept. And because they didn't accept it, by the time it's all over, those left in Yerushalayim end up finally either going to exile or going down to Egypt, and everything's lost from in Yerushalayim. Now, let's continue now in Perachav Gimel about this idea of rehabilitation. You may also use an analogy to what happens in Chumash. What happened in Chumash. Look in Pasuk Zayin. Perachav Gimel, Pasuk Zayin. V'chein hinei yamin ba'imnu Hashem, lo yomru od chay Hashem esher lat b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, ki im chay Hashem esher lat asher azi et tzara b'it Yisrael me'eretz Tzofonam mikol ha'atzot asher yidachtim sham v'yashvu al v'matam. God's saying, when this rehabilitation is over, they're not going to talk anymore about the God who took Am Yisrael out of Egypt. They're going to talk about the God who took Am Yisrael out of all the lands that he put them through, that he sent them to exile. What Yirmiyahu is saying in a nutshell is, now we're going through a time period of exile. You haven't listened, you don't get the message, I'm going to need to send you into exile. But the purpose of this exile is going to be similar to the purpose of your slavery in Egypt, your affliction in Egypt, because we were supposed to learn from that experience in Egypt. And especially in our time in the desert, when God had to punish learning and learning from our mistakes and trying to understand why God punished us, the same thing should happen. We have to learn from what happened from our exile to return to be better. Now, everything about the Nevi'im that we talked about now, Yirmiyahu is going to continue and summarize in Pasuk Tet. Okay. Nevi'im, nishban libi bikibi. He says, in a nutshell, Yirmiyahu is saying, I'm sick of my colleagues, the other prophets, who are missing the people. Okay. He says, I feel like in the spirit of Yehdi ki shikor, Geber over Yain, B'nei Hashem, Yehdi ki shikor. It's like, I'm like almost like with a hangover from it. He says, Kiminasim ala haaretz. They're all, you know what Ni'uf is? Adultery. He calls the Nevi'im adulterers. Not that they're committing adultery in the sense of taking other people's wives, but they're committing adultery in relation to God. They have a relationship with God. They're supposed to represent God, and they're being unfaithful in their relationship with God, and therefore he calls them adulterers. He calls them Ni'uf. Okay? Why? Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ki gam Nevi gam Kohen chanaifo, gam beveitim etzati latam numashem. You think again, the Nevi'im and the Kohanim and the sort of the rabbis, the priests in the Beit HaMikdash, they're all adulterers. And I want to show you, he's not talking about adultery in the marriage sense, but adultery in the leadership sense. Okay. L'chein yed darchem lehem, what's going to happen to them is what they dug their own hole. Now, what did they do? He says, just like in Pasuk Gimel, just like the Nevi'im of Shomron, who's always destroyed, I was angry with them because they gave the vote in Baal and they misled the people. Look at Pasuk Gedalah now. Uzei Yerushalayim Raiti Shaluya, Lof Aloch V'Sheker V'Chizku Yidei Merim, Levati Shavu Ish Merato, Hayu Lichulam Kizdom Yisrael Kamora. He says, the leaders in Yerushalayim, the Nevim in Yerushalayim, I see a terrible calamity. Again, he calls it adultery. Saying things untrue in my name. Strengthening those people who are doing bad. Causing them not to do proper tshuva. And all of them were acting like Sodom and Amorah. What were they doing? Skip the Patek Tet Zayin, what he says. Now we can see, he spells it out. Ki chol ma'ar Hashem tzvot, al tishmo divrei hanivim hanivim lachem, mablim heim etchem. They're misleading you, they're mixing you up. Chazon li ba midaberu, lo mipi Hashem. They're saying their own, what their heart is telling them, they're not saying what God says. Okay. Now listen carefully to Pasuk Yud-Zayin, he explains what this ni'uf is, and what they're saying wrong. Omrim amor, leminatzai, divar Hashem, divar Hashem. They're saying, to my people, God spoke, shalom yelechem. They're saying in God's name, to be peace. That I won't defeat you. You'll be able to succeed. All the people, not only got properly, they said, nothing bad's going to happen. And they're giving false hopes to people and not giving them limits. It's Kimi Amad Vesod Hashem Deira Vishma Dvoro Mikshiv Dvar Hashem Vishma. He says, only people who heard something from God should say, don't say things in God's name they never said. Skip to I didn't send them and they're running to give my message. Lo divate lehem vehem nibu, and they're giving their own nevuot. Imam Duvesodi, listen carefully to Pasuk Chabet. If they were really, if they really knew what I wanted, and their own people, if they were really Nabi, what would they be saying? They wouldn't say rebel against Badal, they wouldn't say do this rebellion and do that. They'd be doing something else instead. Instead they would be saying, they would say what Yirmiyahu was saying back in Perek Zayin. Look again at Pasuk Chabet, remember how it goes back to what we saw in Perek Zayin. Imam Duvesodi, if they knew what God wanted, they would say my word to my people. They'd have them improve their behavior. And we asked the question before, how are we supposed to know what was right and what was wrong, what the people were supposed to be doing? The way they were supposed to know was, Gifemis is all about improving your behavior, being better people. If all the things we're talking about are political issues and they're not talking about behavioral issues, that's a sign that something's wrong. Now, to conclude, I want to show you where all this is coming from in Chumash. It's on the next page. It's like a little source sheet, got English and Hebrew there for you. Where's this idea? Why is Yirmiyahu using the word Tzedek U'Mishpat so much? Right? And why is he called that to know God? So, the source of that phrase of Tzedek U'Mishpat comes from the story of Avram and Sodom. Notice that Yirmiyahu compared them to Sodom and Amorah. Back in Perek Gimel, he compared these Nevi'im and Pasuk Yud-Dalet. Uvinvei Yushan Reiti Shauriyan Leof Aloch V'Sheker Chizku Yidei Merim Levati Shavu Kulam Kizdom V'Yashver Kamora. He compares them to Kizdom and Amora. The phrase Tzedek U'Mishpat, the first time we find it as a key to why God chose the Jewish people, is exactly in the story of Sodom and Amora. If you go back to Chumash, the first part I quoted it was Perek Yud-Bet in Chumash, where God chooses Avraham Avinu to become a great nation, and it'll be a blessing, it's better, particularly we all know by heart. Remember, V'eschalagoy gadol, V'nivu chumish pot adama. Later on, when the three angels come to Avraham Avinu to tell him he's going to have a child, B'Yitzchak, but then, after the same malachim later go on to those stone, because there's no tzedek chumish pot in stone, in the interval between them, God explained to the reader of Chumash why it was they chose Avraham Avinu and what it has to do with the story of stone. We're going to read from Pasuk Yud-Zayin in Perek Yud-Chet and Breshit in source B on that page. That has English and Hebrew on it. Okay, Hashem Amar, Chumash is telling the reader, God had said about Avram, Hamchatani Avram Asher Niyoseh, can I hide from Avram what I'm about to do to Sodom? Avram was chosen to become this great nation, to be a blessing to all mankind. And the question is, What is the fact that Avram is going to be one day a great nation have to do with the fact that God's going to destroy Sodom? But the answer is in the next pasuk. Okay? What's the connection between the destruction of Sodom and Avram being chosen to become this nation? God says as follows, pasuk Yitzhak. Ki yadativ, see the word yada? Vinu. L'man asher yistaved banav et beito acharav v'shamru derech Hashem nasot tzedakah u'mishpat l'man avi Hashem el Avraham et asher yidbar elav. God chose Avram Vinu to begin a family tradition that he would now give over to Yitzhak, who's not going to be born. And Yitzhak would give to Yaakov and Yaakov to his children. That would be what's called the way of God, to keep the way of God, to do tzedakah u'mishpat, nasot tzedakah u'mishpat, in order to bring upon Avram what God said that he'll become a great nation. Back in Sefer Bereshit, God is telling, Chumash is telling us, that the primary reason why God chose the Jewish people was to be a model nation doing tzedakah u'mishpat. And therefore, when Yirmiyahu was dealing with prioritizing, what does God want from his people? Right? When the people are so involved in just running their temple and bringing korbanot and praying and getting involved in the politics, but in all that, they're not taking care of the core values, Yirmiyahu has to blow the whistle and say, it's time to prioritize. And you're not getting that message, I have to put you into rehab for some 70 years. You have to lose your sovereignty and focus instead just on tzedakah u'mishpat. After you do that, then you can deserve your sovereignty back. I'll try to show you where Yirmiyahu is getting it from. And remember, you asked the question before, how are the people supposed to know who to listen to between Yirmiyahu? If you have a Nabi giving a message of proper behavior, of improving behavior, and other Nabi that's just talking about politics the whole time, okay, and not focusing anything at all on Jewish values, then you have a better idea of which Nabi has Devar Hashem. If you, the classic example about Yeshua, continue the question, Ilana. No, you don't need a Nabi to tell, you need a Nabi to remind them, not a Nabi to tell them. Okay? In other words, in general, a Nabi's job is not to predict events that are going to happen. A Nabi's job, even without getting the Vua, is to understand what God wants from his people and guide them in the right way and give them the right direction. And that's what Nabi'im do. The problem is when the Nabi'im, that was the title of the whole class, what happens when religion and politics clash, when the people who are supposed to be the religious leaders get too involved in political issues and start misleading the people and saying things in God's name that you never said and giving them the wrong message of what's important about being Jewish. Now, Yirmiyahu and Perek, the last test I have there for you is in Yirmiyahu Perek Tet. In Yirmiyahu Perek Tet, Pasuk Chabet. I understand Ilana's question. Wait, are you asking if Eretz Yisrael Malchut Beit David isn't a religious issue? It's
the political issue that they want to retain sovereignty. So that's not a religious issue also?
It is. In fact, Judaism is built on the very idea that you have a nation representing God. Yeah. I'm saying the very existence of the people of Israel is religion and politics together, because God wants a political nation. God wants a sovereign nation representing God. And if you can understand why religious people say it's important to have sovereignty. But when there's too much of an emphasis on the political side and all they care is about the sovereignty, but there's no focus at all what the sovereignty is about, that's when a Nabi like Yirmiyahu has to blow the whistle and say, or God's telling Yirmiyahu to blow the whistle and say, something very major is wrong. And that's why they need such a major punishment to get that point across. The extreme, where the means become the goal. I mean, you have certain issues which are important. You need the land of Israel to become that nation. God picks the land of Israel, so that's the ideal place where we become God's nation to represent God. We need to have sovereignty to be a model nation. Now, and therefore, the land of Israel is super important in Judaism, and therefore having sovereignty is important, and therefore having Malchut Beit David is important. But when you have those, and God gives those to you, but you don't act in the land of Israel properly, and you don't use your sovereignty properly, and you think all thing God wants you to have is just have the land of Israel, and you don't care about how you're acting there, and all God wants you to have sovereignty and don't care, when you just focus on the vehicle that God's giving you, but not on his purpose, that's when the thing has to come and blow the whistle and say, you need some rehabilitation. And that's what's so difficult about Yirmiyahu's message, that people don't get the thing. I know it's very easy to apply today, and don't call me, I'm not becoming left-winger here, I'm just pointing out something that might need a, that could give us a little insight about that. I'm not saying who's right and wrong today in today's politics, but definitely from what's happening in Yirmiyahu, we can definitely get some insight about where we need to focus. But I want to, as it's time to conclude, yeah. So he's saying it's the Nevi'i Sheker aren't saying what Yirmiyahu is saying. If the Nevi'i Sheker were really Nevi'im, they'd be spending much more time on guiding the people's behaviors. And they're not talking about that at all. They're spending all their effort delegitimizing Yirmiyahu. Because they don't like Yirmiyahu's political message. That's exactly what I'm trying to get across in the class. Yirmiyahu's message was basically a religious one that had political overtones. The established rabbi, the established Nevi'im and the Kohanim of the Beit HaMikdash, who had a certain political agenda, decided to use their religious status to promote their political agenda. Yirmiyahu's saying, you want to dream about sovereignty? Fine. You want to say it's your idea to rebel? Fine. But don't say God said something to God. Never using their position as a thing, saying God said rebel. God said rebel against Bavel. God said, 2 more years, the kingdom are coming back. Now they're saying that to counter Yirmiyahu. Right? Now, they're not saying don't be good. They don't talk about that at all. They don't disagree with Yirmiyahu that people have to improve their behavior, but they don't talk about it at all. They spend their whole time delegitimizing Yirmiyahu for what he says because they don't like his political opinion. You can argue, but Yirmiyahu is saying you're not focusing on what needs to be focused on. And it's that the behavior of the Nevi'im and the people listening to them reflects exactly where they're at a deeper level, what their religious level is. I want to conclude, time's almost up. Just look in Yirmiyahu what he says about and for Tisha B'Av, remember Tisha B'Av, Chazal says Shabbos before Tisha B'Av. But Tisha B'Av is the time of year we remember destruction of the temple. And I want to show you, Chazal don't only focus on what happened, but on why it happened. What episode did we read on the Shabbat before Tisha B'Av? We read Yishael Perek Aleph, where he compares again, Kitzom Ayinu Kamaro Diminu. And also he talks about, Tzedek V'Tiyom B'Mishmat Yifadeh B'Tzedek Shabbat B'Tzedekah. The truth of Tzedekah Mishmat, that would be redemption. But the Haftarah on Tisha B'Av itself, we read from Yirmiyahu, and the last lines of the Haftarah, I listen to Yirmiyahu, it's a famous one, Kol Mar Hashem, Aitalav Chacham B'Chokhmato, Aitalav Gibor B'Gvurato, Aitalav Asher B'Shro. He's not saying it's not good to be rich, or not good to be wise, or to be strong. He's saying, that shouldn't be what people brag about. You need to be strong, you need to be wise, you need to be wealthy, that's fine, but don't brag about that, that's not your goal in life. Ki B'Zot Italav Mitalav, what should a person be proud of, what should be his goal in life? Haskeloti. He should use his mind and knowledge to know God. But what does it mean to know God? I'm God, who He Himself does chesed mishpat tzedakah on the land. And that's what I want you to do. Okay? And therefore, the same thing you said about Yoachim before, and comparing him to his father who did tzedakah mishpat, and that was called to know God. And Yirmiyahu's idea to know God means it's to internalize that message of what God wants and to basically live a life of tzedek u'mishpat, not just as individuals but also as a nation. Having the land of Israel, having a temple, having some, are all vehicles to accomplish that. But if those vehicles become the whole religion and not the core value, then Am Yisrael gets himself into a mess and God says, I have to punish you until you learn that lesson. And if there's a lesson we can learn from Yirmiyahu today, for sure it's something pretty basic. Our time's up already. Clash. Again, this doesn't mean that every left wing is automatically right. But I think we can learn from there is that sometimes we get so involved in vehicles that God gives us to become His nation, and sometimes we lose sight of the forest because of the trees. And we always have to go back to our core values of being Jewish, of the main laws of being a Jewish nation, the Jewish community. And in times of trouble, bad things happen, we're supposed to do cheshbon nefesh, what we have to improve on. So definitely, every Navi or every leader could agree that the primary things we have to work on is our behavior among one another and how we represent God as a nation. That's definitely a major message in Yirmiyahu. And I think Chazal continues that message in the Haftarot they pick for the holidays, the Minagim we have in the holidays, the whole idea of remembering the Chorban. Again, not just to focus on what happened, but why it happened. Hopefully we'll have a chance to continue this Sidra after Pesach. We'll probably start with we can spend another 5 years on Yirmiyahu, on details. I think we want to start something new so new people come on, and we'll either do Yechezkel, maybe we'll pick another Navi. If you have any suggestions, you can email me or email Jay, and we can. But any questions, we'll take them now.
I wanted to ask, last
otherwise
week
we'll,
you spoke about these two turning points. The second one was when Tzidkiyahu rebelled, and I forgot exactly what the first point was. I wanted to connect that with what Yirmiyahu's looking for, like what he wants them to do each time.
Okay. The first turning point, the main message, that's why we begin with Teres Zion, that we said with today also. The main message is improve your behavior. Right? And then you can stay there, everything, you can keep your king, keep your land, keep your temple, everything. Right? The people don't get the message. They don't understand it. They don't internalize it. And they got this okay, especially after Yoshiel died, tragically, and Yoakim takes over, and Yoakim starts leading God and is very, in his leadership, it's the exact opposite of Yoshiel's. And we saw that today, how he yells at him. There's a total lack of tzedek u'mishpat at the time of Yoakim. After 4 years of Yoakim and that bad behavior and the people following that whole movement, Yirmiyahu blows with us and says, enough is enough. And now, 70 years, you've lost your sovereignty. That's the next turning point. Okay? And now, because Yirmiyahu says that, he's understood as a political... That's for a religious reason. Because the kingdom, again, is misusing its sovereignty. And therefore, it says, you've lost your sovereignty, and Babel's sovereign now for 70 years. The only thing the people hear from Yirmiyahu is, oh, give in to Babel. And the political opinions don't give in to fight Babel. And therefore, that's for politics and religion. Began to clash and put Tzidkiyahu in power. Speaking without a Chorban, without the rest of the people being exiled, had they taken Yirmiyahu's message and stayed subservient to Babel. As soon as Tzidkiyahu rebels, that's the next turning point. Tzidkiyahu rebels in year 4 or 5 of his reign, depends on Egypt, begins his rebellion against Babel, and that's it. And then God decides it's over. And that decision that's over for that people is the figs we saw with Yirmiyahu and Perek Avdalad. And it's Yechezkel seeing the Shekhinah leaving. And then it's only a matter of time until history plays itself out. The people don't get that message. Yirmiyahu says the last minute, you can still do tshuva and stop it from coming. But they don't get the message. Instead, they want to kill Yirmiyahu. They just make fun of him the whole time. They don't understand until finally Babel comes in, wipes them out. And then after that, again, then the whole story of Gedai ben Achikam, again, they don't get the message. So that's what happens over and over again. As far as the next class, Shreya started, we'll see something very similar happens in the time of Chizkiel and the time of Uziel and stuff. You'll see a very similar message in all the Nevi'im of Shreya Sar. And you'll begin to understand why learning Nevi'im Achronim isn't so popular in the Jewish world, because it touches on real... Hey, the words are hard, but the issues are real basic and repeat themselves in Jewish history all the time. Okay, anyway, thanks. Okay. Yeah, question, go ahead, Ilana. Which one's Ilana? That's your underneath. Which one's Ilana? There we go, okay. Okay. We discussed a little bit, things were good, because politically there was a good opening, but their success got to their head. The answer to your question about what went wrong in the time of Yoshiel, that's Yirmiyahu Prakim Gimel Dalet Hei Vav, which we didn't have time to go into in detail. Yirmiyahu during the time of Yoshiel is Prakim part of Bet, but mostly Gimel Dalet Hei Vav. From Perek Zayin was already the time of Yehoyakim. In a nutshell, it's that the tshuva is national, it's nationalistic, but it's not really deep. Yirmiyahu says that you think you've done tshuva and it's far from enough. It's all external, it's not internal. And the biggest test of it is what happens when things go bad. It's when God's good to them, they're happy and they pray. The second things go bad, they leave God. So it's more, there's this nationalistic growth at the time, but it's not real. It's not out of deep yearning to become God's people, to be religious. But again, to do that, we have to read Gimel Dalet Hei carefully. Anyway, have a good night, everybody. Enjoy. And have a kosher, chag kosher v'sameach. Maybe if you guys want, we can do a one-time, I'll talk to Jay, maybe we'll do a one-time, we have the list, we'll do a one-time shir before Pesach on the Pesach topic. If you want to do a, I don't teach a week before Pesach. If you want to do a lunch break shir before Pesach, we can maybe squeeze one of those in, a one-time thing. But we'll follow the emails. Okay. Okay, good night to everybody, and okay, I have to thank you.